CTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go to Rob Wiles YouTube channel, R-O-B-W-I-L-E, The Great Unfolding. Yes, our brother Rob up in Canada unfolds the Word of God to you at The Great Unfolding. So do a search and check it out. Not too many people out there putting out the truth. Rob is one of them. And I thank God for him. Now, God does difficult things in this life. And death is one of the difficult things. And one of the most helpful illustrations to me in the scripture concerning death is the raising of Lazarus. And it's not because the poor guy and his family had to pay for two funerals. No, that's not why. That's a downside of it. Mary and Martha, yeah, they had to pay for two funerals. I wonder if they retroactively charged their brother for the first funeral, which was undone by Jesus. After all the excitement of seeing their brother come back from the dead, that bill comes from the funeral home. And then they kind of look over to their brother. It's like, do you want to help out with this? When's the last time you paid for your own funeral? Well, I guess people do it today. Yeah. My mom paid for everything ahead of time. But we're not doing that, friends, because we are not going to die. I make a pronouncement today. Here's my pronouncement. This is not scripture. It's not prophecy. This is Martin Zender. Everybody who's listening to me in the body of Christ, none of you are going anywhere. We're all going to remain to the coming of the Lord. This is not scripture. Again, it's not prophecy. There's no prophets today. I am not a prophet. I am a teacher. This is just my opinion. Some might call it wishful thinking. But I think we're all in this together, and we're going to see each other through to the end. I know some people who are very sick. I tell them the same thing. Hey, we're all a step away from death. I drive up I-95 sometimes up to West Palm Beach. I-95 is a ribbon of death. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, there was a certain infirm man, Lazarus, from Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now it was Mary who rubs the Lord with attar and wipes his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was infirm. The sisters then dispatched to him, saying, Lord, lo, he of whom you are fond is infirm. I simply would have said, your friend is sick. But these are Bible people, they don't talk like that. No, they say things like, he of whom you are fond is infirm. So Jesus does an amazing thing, and this is where this is a template for us, and this should give us calm and settled wisdom. Yet Jesus, hearing it, said, this infirmity is not toward death, but for the glory of God. Very important there. There's a light face D at the word to in the concordant version. It's right here. Can you see that? There's a light face D on the to. That means this is not toward death. Now we know that Lazarus died. So Jesus didn't say this is not to death, because it was to death. But he said this is not toward death. That is where this whole thing is leading, is not toward death. How many times have I told you? Maybe once in 25 years. So it's time to tell you again. When you go to a cemetery to visit your loved ones, I'm not sure why you would do that, but let's say you do it. You don't look at the tombstone. You look through the tombstone. You look into the resurrection. You look toward something else, right? You can look to it, but you don't look toward it. Toward is more of a goal. It's more of an outcome. So Lazarus, he was sick to death, but he wasn't sick toward death, because our Lord had something in mind that would that would go beyond that. And good for Lazarus, but good for Mary and Martha. But this is just an example. Consider all the people who have died who have not been raised from the dead. Your loved ones, your parents, your grandparents. God forbid, your children. This thing is not toward death. I love that toward, because it's very, very subtle, but death is not the end game. Death is not the destination. Death is not what we're all working toward. It is toward. We know exactly what it was toward with Lazarus, and that's what it's toward with us. It is toward life. It is toward magnifying the works of God. It is toward an expectation that all death will follow in the footsteps of this one, Jesus' friend. Now, we know that every single member of the human race will one day be vivified. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. But Jesus loved Lazarus. It says it right here. Jesus hearing it, this infirmity is not toward death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And remember what Mary said, very awkwardly. Lord, lo, he of whom you are fond is infirm. Jesus Christ is especially fond of us. He's especially fond of us. And see, even those of our acquaintance who have gone to repose, Jesus loves them too. And you wonder how he can tolerate so much death, right? Like Jesus is up there. How many people die every day? Don't fear the reaper. That song, right? Don't fear the reaper. What does it say? 40,000 men and women every day. Yeah, 40,000. So Jesus and God are up there watching this carnage down here, like I-95. God knows how many people die a day on I-95. It goes all the way up to the United States. But anyway, but they look at it differently than we do. But I am inviting us through this account to look through it, not at it, not to it, toward what it is about to do. Yes, I said about to do. We are the next big thing in the resurrection department. And we're his friends. We're special. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. So Jesus Christ is going to raise us early. See, he loved Lazarus. So what happened with him? It was his friend. Let me tell you something. It's a good deal to be Jesus's friend. It'd go good for you if you are Jesus's friend. He takes special care of you. Oh, yes. You want to be friends with Jesus. Not because he's scary, not because he's an eternal tormentor. No, he's the Savior of all humanity. He's taking care of everybody, but his friends, come with me. I got something special for you. But Jesus, when he got to Bethany, tells Mary or Martha, one of them, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And Mary or Martha, I should read it, says, yeah, we know you're the resurrection. Yeah, someday there's going to be a great resurrection. We know that. We know that. And Jesus said, haha, I got a surprise for you, because I'm your friends. You're my friends. I'm going to do something special for you. I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring people to life now, anybody I want. And since I'm friends with you, I'm going to bring your brother back to life. He didn't tell him that, but he started acting kind of funny, and they got a little bit excited. Started acting funny, and they got a little bit excited. He said, stand back. Oh my God, can you imagine that? Jesus Christ coming here, visiting the grave of your loved one. Stand back. Love it. You know what Jesus Christ is going to say right before the snatching away? Stand back. And all of heaven is going to part. And the angels and the 24 elders and the animals and all the celestial beings will part. Stand back. And there will be a rumbling in heaven. Not on earth. Not a whisper on earth. Nothing. But in heaven, great anticipation. Great fanfare. Great expectation. Because Jesus Christ's friends are coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first, because we're his friends, we're his intimates, we have a familial relationship with him. And so we come out of the grave early, like Lazarus. This is a transadministrational truth that happens with the circumcision and with the uncircumcision. They come out before the rest of mankind, don't they? At the second coming of Christ, those faithful Israelites, 75 days after his advent at the Mount of Olives, they're going to come out of the graves in the former resurrection. People like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 apostles, David, the kings of Israel. Yeah, the good ones anyway. The rest of humanity way down at the end of the Aeonian times. So it's very early. But we have an even more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ than even Israel. More intimate. Because we're his body. They're his bride. Remember, I told you, I used to think how great to be the bride of the Lamb. The bride. You're right next to him. You're right next to him. What could be closer than that? This. To be him. To be him. To share the title of Christ. To know that he is the head of the body and that he is incomplete without us. And that's why, this is what he's looking through. With our loved ones who died in Christ, I want you to look through that toward this great snatching away. Because that's why God and Christ are not mopey. They're up in heaven. They're not mopey at all. They're anticipating this great event. They're looking toward it. They're looking toward it. They're looking through all the graves. They're looking through the 40,000 men and women every day. And they're looking toward the resurrection. I mean, and they're so far looking that they're even looking at the consummation already. They're already, oh yeah, they got the blueprints out. They're looking at the consummation. They've already got it figured out for the consummation. So you know they have it figured out for the snatching away, which is possibly in a matter of months or 5 minutes from now, or 2.5 minutes. I upgraded, remember? It was 5 minutes, now it's 2.5 minutes from now. You know they're anticipating that. And I didn't even get to what I wanted to get to here of why Jesus waited. This is what he did. I'm going to get to this tomorrow. I was going to get to it today, but I've already given you a heaping helping of the Lord's hospitality. But Jesus actually, when he heard that his friend was infirm, he waited 2 days. He did not run back. Did not run back. Hurry up. Get there, work a miracle so you won't die. No, Jesus Christ wanted Lazarus to die, and tomorrow I'll tell you why.